You're listening to Immaculate Conception Podcasts, recorded on Sundays at the 11 a.m. Mass at Immaculate Conception Catholic Church in Columbia, Illinois. For more information on Immaculate Conception, please go to www.icc-columbia-il.us. Our pastor is Father Carl Scheer, and now, enjoy the podcast.
There is a theme running through every reading today, and it's quite strong, and that is being humbled in the presence of something great. And we've all experienced this in one way or another, maybe not to the extent that we hear at Isaiah, Paul, and the gospel writers speaking about. However, all of us at one point has the feeling of realizing that we're in the presence of something greater maybe than ourselves or more talented than ourselves. For me, there's certain priests that I have met in my life, and they're not many, but I have met that seem to be extra holy. That's the only word that I can give you. And I can't give you much more explanation than that, but just knowing that in their presence, this person is a very holy person. And we've all experienced that as well. There's some saintly people. And when we're in their presence, we feel it. Now, you know, we're all pretty good people. And I think I'm a pretty good person until you put me in the room with a saint. And then when you put me in a room with a saint, I say, well, maybe I'm not as good as I thought I was. Because this person shows that I, you know, there's a lot to be desired. And you know what? That's in everything that we do, whatever hobby, whatever you're into, there's always somebody that can do better. Always, usually. And when we come across that person, two things can happen. One, and here's the not good thing. When we're in the presence of somebody better, who has a better talent or whatever, it can lead on our part to angerness and bitterness that leads to envy, which is a horrid sin. I'm not going to talk about that, but that's one path. So we got to watch that, and that's all I can say about that. Watch out for envy. Now, the other is really what I want to talk about, is this reaction of humbleness. Isaiah got to see a portion of heaven. God showed Isaiah, here is the throne room of heaven. And Isaiah says, whoa, my goodness. Woe is me, I am doomed, for I'm a man of unclean lips, living among people of unclean lips. I don't deserve to see this. I don't deserve to be here. This is way beyond me. In our second reading from St. Paul to the Corinthians, St. Paul says, look, Jesus went here, Jesus saw these people, Jesus went there, Jesus appeared over here. He made himself known to these people and those people. Then finally, the least of all the apostles is myself, who do not deserve to be an apostle because I killed Christians. And we see in the gospel reading, Simon, who said, well, you know, we haven't been catching fish. Jesus says, throw your nets over and then start pulling them back. And then so much fish that almost two boats sank, at which then Simon Peter fell at his knees of Jesus and says, depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. The gift is so overwhelming, and the experience is so overwhelming, that it makes us realize that we're not as perfect as we should. And this doesn't even have to happen with other people. Sometimes even when we experience nature, when you watch a thunderstorm approaching or you see some grand landscape, you realize, wow, I'm pretty small and things are pretty big. And then hopefully it'll lead to this humbleness. Depart from me, Lord, for I am sinful. But God says, no, no, no. You're not getting kicked out. I'm going to help you out. And we got to go back to Isaiah, because Isaiah has it right. What is it that makes us unhumble? What is it? It's our lips. spiritual writers might say the tongue, too. The tongue or the lips. And so today we're going to call them lips, but it could be the tongue as well. And it is as if our tongue or lips, I like cats. So if you ever notice that there's a cat and then a cat's tail. And you notice a cat's tail seems to be sometimes an independent creature from a cat. And that's just the way it is. And for us, I'm sorry if you're not a cat person, I'm sorry about the analogy. But it works nonetheless. Our tongue sometimes seems separate from us. It does, our tongue and our lips. And here's what I mean. I know gossiping is not right. I know this. But believe me, I can be on the phone gossiping. And while I am gossiping, this is the weirdest thing, while I am gossiping, my mind is saying gossiping is wrong. But I continue. And if I'm gossiping about somebody I don't like, then I can shut the brain off completely and tell the mind, forget it. And the mind says, well, I warned you. But there's some other part of me that just keeps talk. And let me tell you about this person, that person. As if my lips and my tongue were another creature. I'm possessed by the gossip demon. I can't help it. I need therapy. I need this. I need that. Well, anyway. Sorry, getting off. All right. Okay, there is a cure here. Now, picture summertime and you're barbecuing in the backyard. Everybody here, hopefully, has been to a barbecue or seen a barbecue pit. So we realize, and I'm talking about old school charcoal, not the gas stuff. So we've got a charcoal pit. Okay. So some of you younger people, you just have to use your imagination. There's a thing called charcoal. And so you use this charcoal, you light it. And you had to wait for it to get warm. Or you wait for it to get a certain temperature, color, whatever you do. So anyway, nonetheless, you got this charcoal going. All right, kids out there, picture this. Picture somebody getting the tongs that you always use in barbecue and grabbing one of those hot charcoal that's hot, red hot. And now they say, I need to touch your lips. And this is exactly what happened here to Isaiah. One of the seraphim flew to me holding an ember, got a pair of tongs and a piece of charcoal lit. Burning. And he's coming to touch the mouth. Now, if I was Isaiah, me and that angel, we'd be getting a workout because I'd be running and he'd be flapping to try to get to me because I wouldn't sit there. I would not let somebody touch my lips with a burning red ember. Who would want that? It's an awful image. But that's exactly what has to happen. The angel says, I've got to come and get this ember off the altar, touch your lips, so that now, why? Your wickedness and sins have been purged. Burn them off. This means that you got to get rid of all of this stuff, all of this gossip, all of this unforgiveness, all of this anger, and instead, replace it with words of kindness, words of compassion, words of love, words of support. You know how hard that is? I'd rather suck on the charcoal. If you put it that way. So wait a minute, what do I have to do? And that's exactly what we're called to do. But God says it's going to take some burning. It's not easy to forgive. It's not easy to be kind and considerate at times. We don't feel like it. And when we don't feel like it, our tongue and our lips sometimes say things we shouldn't say. But guess what? God says, I'm not giving you permission to do that. You have to burn it away. It is like being touched by a red-hot ember. It's not pleasant to us. And sometimes we have to give up things that we hold on to, especially unforgiveness, especially to past hurts. We like to call them up and we like to brag about them and we show them as scars. Look what somebody did to me so many years ago. And I do the same thing and I'll gossip about it. I hate this person for doing this. Look what this person has done. And God is saying, I can take care of that. Whammo with a red hot ember. Got it. And we say, no. No. I kind of like this because it gives me a chance to complain. We all like to complain. It gives me a chance to feel sorry for myself, and we all like to feel sorry for ourselves. It gives me a chance to do all of those things, which in the end is horrible. No one really wants to hear it. No one wants to hear me complaining all the time and all of that. I want to complain to you all the time, but it is useless. Today, we are being challenged to be humble. This humility means that we have to step back away from ourselves and to realize that a God who is greater than ourselves has given us a chance to love one another because he loves us despite all of the crap that we can sometimes say with our mouth. He loves us in spite of that. So now, what we have to do in return then is to be humble and speak humbly. And in doing so, it may mean that certain things have to be burned off and we have to give up certain things. But in the end, it is better because God says, whom can I send? And at the very end of Isaiah, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? And then Isaiah says, here I am, send me. Every day when we wake up, that should be our answer to God. Here I am, send me. Let us walk humbly then, and let us speak humbly so that people will recognize, wow, that person truly speaks the love of God.